This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. It's 9:36 a.m. Friday the 24th of April. And before we get into some corporate stories for you, let's take a quick look at how the KLCI is doing this morning. I think earlier it started out in the red, down about 0.7%. How's it looking now?
It's actually down even more. So it's down 0.8% to 1370. The whole region is in the red. Singapore is even feeling it more. They're down 1.33%. Only the Australian market is up. So it looks like a bit of a red day. I think it's taking its cue from the mixed performance or relatively flat performance of the US markets.
So in about 15 minutes, we're also going to be taking a look at the European economy with insight from Simon Baptist, Global Chief Economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit. But in the meantime, we're talking about Malaysia's GLCs, because a few weeks ago, the past Secretary General and de facto Law Minister, Dato' Zakiuddin Hassan, caused a bit of a stir when he stated that all MPs who at present don't hold positions in government will be made heads of GLCs. Now, this was met with widespread consternation, I believe, from both sides of the political divide.
Firstly, I didn't even know that there were enough GLCs for all the MPs. But nonetheless, more recently this week, a coalition of Malay Muslim NGOs issued a statement rebuking Dato' Zakiuddin's claim that the MPs were eligible to lead these GLCs.
So joining us on the line to discuss this further is Ahmad Yazid Othman, CEO of the Malay Economic Action Council, better known by their Malay acronym MTEM, which was one of the signatories of the statement. Thanks for joining us today, Yazid. So why did this statement from de facto Law Minister Zakiuddin Hassan provoke such a response from your coalition group? In other words, I mean, why do you feel so strongly about this?
I mean, it's a tradition that they are trying to set a precedent that it should not be a precedent that all MPs are qualified to be a GSC chairman. The GSC chairman's position is not meant to be a political barter trade. It's supposed to be a leadership role that would help us grow the GLC to another level. So to say that all MPs are qualified just because their MPs are actually sending a wrong message, and we've seen in the past that some of these political appointees are not really capable, and some of them have been charged in court for malpractices, corruption. So we are trying to send a message that should not be the standard, and the Prime Minister must take its decision carefully in the interest of the country and the GLCs in particular.
But some in Perikatan Nasional will argue that these political appointments are necessary to solidify their support base. Do you think this is a justification? Is acceptable one?
Not really. I mean, I understand that there are positions that they need to give politicians. They could still be part of the board in some of the capacity, but to actually by default say that they all belong to the chairmanship is actually a wrong message. So I think there are other ways that the government can consider in how these political MPs can be a part and parcel of the GLC's reforms and development as a voice from the people, but not really to head the chairmanship role in particular.
So how then do we move away from political patronage influencing the appointments of GLC leaders?
Well, we've seen in the past, in the glory days, in the past, we've seen Tan Sri Hasan Merican and Tan Sri Abdul Aziz Rahman. So these are people that are not politicians, and they have been able to stir the GLCs into great heights. So I think first we need to accept that it's the right way forward to ensure that we have qualified people leading the GLC. So whether we can start the political patronage is a question that all Malaysians are wondering. But I'm pretty sure that where there's a will, there's a way. We need to find a way how to balance between balancing the need for the political parties to ensure their support is strong and the interest of the nation, which should be at first and foremost.
But the issue of political patronage has been one that both sides of the political divide are guilty of, right? So how do we move away from this? I mean, realistically, it is so much entrenched part of Malaysian politics.
Well, I don't deny there some form of political appointees need to be part of the GLCs and the government agencies. I mean, that's given because that's how they contribute. Well, that's what they believe they contribute to this institution. But I think until we figure out how to do political financing, until we find a better role for politicians to serve, they will always be part and parcel. It's just that we need to limit the amount of political interference so it doesn't jeopardize the business of the GLC, so it affects the GLC and the interests of the nation. We are just concerned about how it might take a wrong turn. I mean, by all means, if the politicians are good, qualified, talented, are already from the corporate scene, that would be an exception. But to imply that all political appointees and patronage is the right way, it's a challenge. I'm not saying that I have the solution, but I think the government of the day must find a way how to limit the negativity of political patronage and ensure that the positive aspect of it remains.
But we've already seen a lot of removals of certain heads of GLCs at this current moment, right? So it doesn't seem like that is going to change anytime soon.
Well, I can't defend. I can't say that whether that definitely. I mean, because the government has changed, so they also have their own ideas of who should be the one leading the GLCs. For all intent and purpose, those are political appointees. So political appointees are plenty, but we just need to make sure they are qualified. So the concern is if they are take away the one that is with quality and replace it with one of worse quality and of a political nature rather than competence. I think that is what we can tolerate now. We can't really do much because I think each government have their own way how to ensure the GLCs are run the way that they want. But we are just concerned that the interests of the GLCs are not considered, but the interests of political interests supersede the rest.
Now, Yazid, moving a little bit into a look at the current MCO, which has been extended until the 12th of May. Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin also said that he'll be considering opening new sectors and subsectors in this phase four. So from your perspective there and at MTEM, which subsectors should be considered?
Well, it's a very difficult question because as businesses, every business needs to operate in order to make sure there's some form of revenue. But when there's limited movement, it's a challenge. If there was one, I would say we would need to open a lot more sectors with regard to agriculture. So we need a lot of support. We know there's a lot of pressure on the distribution part across states. So we need to figure that out. I think in terms of industry, if you ask me, I can name four or five different industries that needs to operate, but I could only think of one at the moment. I think we need to have a lot more supporting essential services such as government sectors, finance is already are still slow, banking stuff are not really all there. We need more government servants to support the government sector. So to ensure the processing of the prihatin packages are sent out, but to be fair to you, I am not quite sure because the extension requires another stimulus rather than more opening of industry. Because I don't think the business can survive as is. We need more support from the government to ensure that we can keep jobs.
And, you know, of course, the government has said that they will be considering new sectors and subsectors if there are standard operating procedures or SOPs being in place. But this also requires approval from MITI. Have you had any feedback with regards to this process? Should it be relooked? Because one thing we understand is that there's a backlog of applications at this current moment.
Yeah, you're right. We've received a lot of backlogs. We are unsure whether the government is able to process all of them in due time because there's thousands, hundreds and thousands of applications. So what we think the government should open up to engage perhaps other agencies, NGOs to facilitate the approval, you know, the process of identifying which businesses to release the pressure of the government ministries to process this application because we are also concerned that only the big ones are able to operate and the small ones are unable to comply. So then we will only have a very limited amount of people operating. And I'm not quite sure whether that will be enough to stir the economy in the right situation.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Yazid. That was Ahmad Yazid Othman, CEO of the Malay Economic Action Council, better known as MTEM. And, you know, it's a difficult... Everything that he's talked about is quite a difficult balance because when we talk about political appointees in GLCs, it's so much an entrenched part of our political landscape that we can't be rid of them entirely. But the question is, you know, as he laid out, how do you limit their political interference in the actions of GLCs, and how do you ensure that all of these appointees really have the chops to run these government-linked companies? Because most of these, it's not an easy task to run a GLC. And if you have no prior experience other than being a member of parliament, then, you know, there is a high chance that you could do something that is detrimental to the Malaysian public. So that's on the government. That responsibility falls on the government to ensure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, when the company gets into
financial difficulties, yes, it's the government that has to bail it out.
No, sorry, it's the taxpayers that have to bail them out because, you know, guess where the government gets the money from. But aside from that, I mean, if you really truly want a GLC to maximize shareholder value, really be something very different in the corporate world, you need to attract the right talent. So just imagine if you're a corporate guy now and you're a CEO of an MNC, and suddenly the government comes to you, hey, I've got this lucrative GLC job, please join us. Would he or she knowing that in 5 years, which is a normal election cycle, there is this possibility that I might not keep my job in 5 years just because I was appointed by government A, and if government B comes into power, poof, that post disappears. So you're not going to have that talent. You're not going to have that continuity. And, you know, even as any new guy can come in and tell you, it takes a while for strategy to be rolled out. So let's say 5 years, you've got 2 years to roll it out, 3 years you're there, and 5 years you're out of the door. It makes no sense.
Absolutely. So, unfortunately, this is something that we clearly still have to deal with as we see more people appointed to the GLCs after a round of people on the firing block. So, one hopes that eventually this will be something that governments of the day can address. But right now, we have some messages for you. And up next, we're taking a look at the European economy with insight from Simon Baptist of the Economist Intelligence Unit. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.